your Bibles this evening to Philippians chapter number 1. As we mentioned this morning, and as is so often what the Lord leads us to do, we are considering the subject of providence. This morning, we noticed the working of the Lord in the lives of not one, not two, but three individuals to bring about in the confluence of their life the events that would bring them to a certain point at a certain time, so that many things were happening. The thoughts of the king, the desires of the homeless woman, the desires of her, but also the words of Gehazi as he was telling the stories of Elisha. All of that was converging all on one spot, one moment in time, for reasons that we noticed this morning. And it can't be denied, as we looked at that passage of Scripture, that God works in the everyday, seemingly unimportant, mundane things of life to bring us to where we need to be, or to where He would have us to be for any one point in time in our lives. And the things that happen to us, they don't just affect us, but God works and He uses those things, those events, in many lives. And so the point of this morning was to show us from Scripture the very fact of the providential working of God. That cannot be denied. Our purpose for tonight and what we want to look at is processing or thinking about that providence, what it means to us in our lives now, how we can observe it even, as we'll notice tonight in just a few moments. But read first here in Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6 is all we'll read. Paul says to the Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, confidence is a very fickle thing. In some ways, we need to be careful and not mistake confidence for pride. When it goes too far and we think too much of ourselves, that's not confidence. That's pride rearing its ugly head. But confidence can go hand in hand or coexist with humility, as long as our confidence is in the right thing. And here he is putting his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and that which he would do. Can we say tonight with a great deal of certainty that we are confident, that we are confident that the work that has begun in us will be completed? Just ask yourself that question. Have you thought of it in those terms? Paul says we are confident that this is the case. That means there's no room for any guessing. There's no room for any doubt in his mind. He is confident that this is true. And what he's confident about is, again, the fact that that which has begun in him, and he's talking about salvation. On the road to Damascus, Paul met Christ. He was saved by the grace of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that work was begun. Now, we know that Paul was as saved that day as he ever will be saved, because salvation is an eternal possession of God's people in Christ. But yet we also know that the work of salvation in our life goes beyond just the soul, and it works throughout the remainder of our life until we go to meet the Lord. And Paul says, even though I only have a down payment, I only have the earnest money of this possession now, he says, I'm confident, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it will be completed. So question one tonight is, can we say that? Do we have that kind of confidence in the Lord? Then the second question to that would be, how do you think that is going to happen from here until the day we die or until the rapture occurs? How is that going to transpire? Now, we could talk in general terms and be accurate, or we could be right. We could say, of course, God is going to keep us until that day, and He will. Yes, He will. We could say that God, salvation is eternal. He will not let any slip out of His hands. That is true. He will not. But I'm trying to get us down from the looking at the picture in general to looking at it in more detail and thinking about how he goes about that in our daily lives. I would submit to you tonight that he does so through providence in many ways. The work that was begun in us continues in us. The work that was begun in us is guaranteed to be completed, and he brings that about through the providential workings of his sovereign hand. When you think about providence, there are at least three elements that have to be true for providence to exist in our lives as God's working. God has to be sovereign if we are going to be able to have confidence, like Paul, and we are going to be able to trust that God is working providence in our life. He has to be sovereign, which means that none can have any power over him whatsoever. One cannot espouse the belief that God is not sovereign on one side and then say on the other side that God is working providentially somehow in their life. The two are opposed to one another. Because if God is not in control of everything at every moment, all the time, then how can we say that God is working right now to bring about a confluence of events that we can't even comprehend for our good and for his glory, to bring us to that day that he has promised? How can we make that statement? You see, sovereignty is a necessity for providence to be true. We also understand that not only sovereignty, but power. And I know the two are closely related. But yet power speaks to not only authority, but it speaks to ability. It speaks to making happen what one desires to make happen. So having no restraint upon the will, having no boundaries, if you will, being able to do as one pleases, to exercise providence in our lives, to exercise providence in the lives of the Shunammite woman, of Gehazi, and of the king, to make that confluence of events happen, God not only had to be sovereign, but he had to be powerful. He had to raise somebody from the dead, didn't he? He certainly did. He also had then to work in the hearts of and speak through Elisha to tell the woman to go away for 7 years. She had to work. He had to work providentially in power to the kingdom to take her land away. He had to work providentially in the king's heart to say, I really want to hear from Gehazi about the glory days of Elisha. He had to work providentially and powerfully in Gehazi to make sure that he was telling that one story at the very moment that she came in. Do you see that all of that cannot be accomplished if there is not power, ability, authority to make it come to pass? God is omnipotent. None can stay his hand. None can say unto him, what doest thou? But then thirdly, and what we want to think about mostly tonight, this will transition us over to Psalms chapter 107. But we must understand that the third part of this about God working providentially in our heart is love, or the loving kindness of God. For providence to be so in our lives, we must have a God that cares. We must. We must have a God that desires to do the things that he does, like he did for the Shunammite woman. He brought about that confluence of events. The primary purpose, at least from our perspective, in reading everything, seems to be to restore her land. That takes a benevolent God. That takes a loving God. His loving kindness had to be present and active and working in order for that providence to come to pass. If you experience the providential working of God, and let's be honest, it's not always felt in our lives as a positive thing. Sometimes it hurts. But even when it hurts, it comes from a place of love. We need to see that. For the providence of God to be at work in my life, it must be from a place of love. God shows a loving kindness about himself. Now, does that mean that he loves to the point of election, predestination, salvation, everyone that he works in the life of? No, because he works in the life of every single individual upon the face of the earth in some form or fashion. The Bible tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? But even that, we can see a benevolent God showing forth some kind of love or loving kindness to an unworthy, unthankful, blasphemous people. So even then, still we see that providence is based upon love. Now let's go over to Psalm 107. You know, saying that we have the idea of providence, you know, all wrapped up in our mind, is, or that we understand it, is somewhat of a foolish statement. Surely, we understand the teaching, we understand the doctrine. But to say that we understand the providential workings of God is a foolish thing. We know passages like Isaiah 55 tells us that His ways are higher than our ways. Of Romans 11:33, where it tells us that His, the depths of His riches and His knowledge and His understanding, and we can't search Him to find out these things. And so we cannot understand all about God's providence, but that does not mean that we are to be ignorant of it. Just because I cannot fully comprehend, I'll just throw out an example it's kind of embarrassing to me in some ways. Just because I don't understand how a car works completely, I mean, I understand the generalities, but get beyond the oil change and some basic maintenance, and you know, I my eyes glaze over and you hear people talk, and some men around here are, you know, love their cars, and they talk about all these things, and I don't know. But does that mean that those details are any less real? Does that mean that the car doesn't function? No, of course not. Those things are all real. They are present. And you know what? I can observe them. I can look at them. I can learn from them. And the same way, or the same thing is true about God's providence. We need to have the understanding that though it is to a degree what some may call, you know, the word that comes to mind is mystical. You know, and by that I mean that it is not readily apparent why things happen or situations develop the way they do. And we may not be able to understand it, but does that make any of it less real, operable? Does it make any of the details less important? No. And so we can observe, we can see, we can look, and it does us a great deal of good to do so. Psalm 107, read with me here, verse number 32. We're going to read a few verses here to build to verse number 42 or 43 there at the end. So Psalm 107, verse number 32. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. There He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Now, before we read the last few verses, everything that's led up to this, really the psalmist is saying, all of these things I have seen happen and are true. He has seen the Lord work in the circumstances of lives to bring them high, to make a fruitful land in the wilderness. He has seen Him turn the wilderness into standing water, dry grounds, into water springs. In other words, He has seen God providentially provide. He has seen Him work in all of the confluence of the events there to bring about something to bless. But then, He also, in verse 38, says He blesses them also, and He multiplies. He suffereth not their cattle to decrease. He works in ways that we can't understand. There was a time in Jacob's existence when he kept the sheep, and he said to Laban, his father-in-law, you know, I'll keep the ones that are ring-strecked and speckled. You keep the other ones. And God made it so that only ones that were ring-strecked and speckled were born. God worked providentially. He brought that about. Why? To bless Jacob. And we see that happening over and over again. And that's what this passage is about. He's saying, I have observed God's providential working in this world. I have seen it happen time and again. But he doesn't stop there, because he then talks about the negative side, or the side of contempt for God. He talks about the side of wickedness and iniquity. And he says in verse number 40 that he pours contempt upon them. So you see how he works providentially both ways. But now read with me the last two verses. He says in verse number 42, the righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. The first part of that verse especially, the righteous shall what? They shall see it and rejoice in it. Now, does that mean they understood it all? No. But they took the time to rejoice in the things that were transpiring. They took the time to rejoice because when they saw it, it brought praise to their minds and glory to God, because they understood, even in these small things, that God was at work. And then notice here in verse number 43. Now, he just said in verse 42, the righteous shall see it and they shall rejoice, they shall praise. Verse 43, he says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Who it is that shall observe these things, even they shall understand. Even they shall understand. But notice that he doesn't say they shall understand all of the X's and Y's, all of the events. But what does it say they shall understand? It says that they shall understand the loving kindness of God. I mean, get that. Really think about that. He says, by observing the things going on in their life, they shall understand, not necessarily the things happening there, but they shall be able to understand and see the loving kindness of God at work. The loving kindness of God blessing and working in the seemingly random events. The careless or the callous observer sees events rather than providence. Think about that statement. The careless or callous observer sees event after event after event after event in their life, or random act after random act, disconnected from one another. Sees that over and over again. Instead of, as they see things, as they experience things, instead of seeing providence. And what are they missing? What are they losing out on? They're losing out on seeing the loving kindness of God. In essence, what they are doing is, they may have the big picture. They may say, I'm saved, I'm a member of the West Mountain Baptist Church, I believe these truths, God has blessed me in these general ways. And so they may get the big picture, but they miss observing the providential workings of God from day to day, and thereby miss being able to see the loving kindness of God in everything that is transpiring in our lives. God will bring these things into our lives. He will bless us, and we may not be able to see it coming afar off. We may not be able to, as we have said, understand it, but we can observe. Now think about it from this perspective, okay? The verse in Philippians said that he had confidence that what God begun, he would continue. All right? So he says what God had begun, that thing that he had begun was in the past tense, wasn't it? It had already happened to Paul. But yet he still had confidence based upon that, that something yet future would come to pass. Now, why we bring that out is because we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? The Bible tells us not to even worry about it because the troubles you're going to experience today are enough. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And that is providence at work as well. But when we think about it from this perspective, we cannot know the confluence of tomorrow's events. We cannot know if tomorrow we are going to experience a great high, a great low, how the things are going to come to pass. We don't know what it is going to do or to be, can we? We don't. We can't even tell you, really, an hour from now, what the confluence of events will be. We can guess. We have experience in life, so we kind of know. But yet, we don't really know, do we? You don't know how God is going to work in your life tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. But here is what you can do. You can observe this present moment and every moment you've lived before it to see God's providential hand at work. You can see the past and understand and allow it to bolster your confidence for what God will yet do in the future. I have confidence that whatever the confluence of events are for tomorrow, though they're beyond my control, though they're beyond my understanding, I can't see them afar off. But yet I have confidence that God is the one that is orchestrating those things, not just in my life, but He is working in other people's lives as well. He's working in my family's life. He's working in your lives. He is working in lives of people that I don't know and will never know. I have confidence that He is doing that now. And so that when tomorrow comes, it will not just be a series of random events that mean nothing. But based upon everything that I have ever experienced, I have confidence. I have confidence that God will provide for me in that same way. And that is where we go from seeing the general and we dial it down to see the detail, to see God working, to understand that He is working in this event, and it shows His loving kindness, it shows His care. May not understand what it's about for some time, but yet we know God is working in it. That is providence. Whether we're talking about the providing of food, the providing of safety, the providing of comfort and blessings and or spiritual things, whatever it is, we need to dial it down. I'll give you a good example. This morning we used the picture of a chain and divine providence forging a chain a link at a time to bring us to where we need to be, to what we need to be used of God. Let's think about this in another perspective. Observing providence in this way, I mean really taking it in and trying to see the detail, takes work, it takes effort. It's a lot like taking in a landscape that's ripe with detail. If you can think about a beautiful landscape that's been painted by an artist, you can use the one behind me for example. You are able to see it. And as you look upon it, you're struck by its composition, by its beauty. You're struck by the author's talent or the artist's talent and his ability or her ability to capture whatever scene that was. You're able to see the waves rolling in. You're able to see maybe, the sand of the beach. You're able to see the setting sun, whatever it is. And you're taken aback by it. It's beautiful. And you seek to engrave it upon your mind so that you might remember it and maybe be blessed by it, sometime in the future. But then, after observing it for a few moments, the landscape is taken away. As the landscape is taking away, what begins to happen? Those details in that picture that you looked at, they begin to fade away. And upon taking away, just imagine closing a curtain behind me over the landscape that is here, though you have seen it for many years and many times. Upon closing it, how many could describe it in great detail? Not just to say, yes, there is water, or to give a general description like some people do when they describe how God has blessed them in their life or what God is doing. You know, they say, God, He saved me, member of church, believe these things, And there's a real general brushstroke to it. But what we find upon examination is that there is a whole lot more detail. And as you describe, try to describe the details of a painting that has been taken away from you, you begin to struggle, don't you? Begin to think, now was there a ship on that water? Were there any shells upon the seashore? Were there any chairs or umbrellas set out to observe the waves coming in? Were there white caps upon the water as the waves broke? Were there these things? Oh, you could describe and say it was moving. The sun was setting. It was red. And you know, there was water and the waves coming. It was just beautiful. You describe it in that general way. But you know what? Every stroke that artist put in to making that landscape was part of that beautiful scene that you saw. And so it is with us in our lives. People see the picture. They see us. They see the totality at times of our circumstances. But what we really need to focus on is those brushstrokes and seeing the detail and what God has done for us, is doing for us, so that we may have even the more confidence that He will yet continue in His loving kindness to do those things. And as we said, that takes work. Providence is the same way. We fail to see the details. We fail to observe those things that God does as He strokes the brush upon the canvas of our life. Each brush stroke adding providentially to the scene that is or makes up our life. And that really is hard for us to do, because we don't always operate that way. We don't focus on those small details. We don't think about them as much. And I thought about, you know, giving you a test and getting some kind of landscape up here and then saying, did you see this? Did you see that? You know, you did see it because it was here before you. But you didn't note it. You didn't observe it to cause you to rejoice. You didn't see those things. And so we need to be looking. We may not ever fully grasp the importance of why or why God has done a certain thing in our life. But rest assured, in that moment, you can understand that it's just another stroke on the canvas. Or as we said this morning, another link in the chain. And what we see here in Psalm 107 in verse 43, he says, whoso is wise and will understand these things, observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. When the brushstroke comes, God is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you to His people. Again, it's a little bit different for those that are not His, but that's what we're focusing on tonight. He's showing you day in and day out. Every time you sit down to a meal, providentially, God is saying, I love you. And this is how much. Not just the provision of Christ, that was the grandest thing God can ever, will ever do for us, but every day and every moment, God is showing His loving kindness to us. He is displaying that in His providential workings. In those events that many times we don't even stop to consider for another moment. Stop to consider how they have worked in our life or how they are working in our life. This knowledge must be gained by observation of what has taken place in our life, that we might first rejoice in the loving kindness of God and return unto Him the glory, but secondly, so that we might have the confidence. And that brings us back for a full circle to Philippians 1 and verse number 6. He has promised to perform that which is good. God, in the day of our salvation, overwhelmed us in the Spirit, by His Spirit. He overwhelmed us with His love through Christ. And He shows us that love continually. He will continue to perform that which is good until the day of Christ. until our full salvation comes to pass and we are raptured out or we die and then our bodies raised at the rapture to be with Him. And our salvation is full and final. The working of providence guarantees us that. And understanding that causes us to praise the Lord and see His love. Providence teaches us much about God when we begin to really consider it. Again, we said there's sovereignty, power, love involved in providence. But it shows us how He cares for, how He loves, how He provides for, how He protects, how He brings about the things in life that He desires, that we need, that others need. I mean, sometimes, I'm telling you to focus in the detail here, but understand the detail that you see may not be all about you. How many times has the brushstroke upon your canvas been for the benefit of someone else? That you might be able to be a blessing to them. A hardship you face, perhaps the brush on the canvas of your life and that providential working to add to your landscape, perhaps its purpose was so that another might benefit, be blessed. But yet we still see that detail falling in to our lives. But not only does it teach us much about God and His care and His loving kindness and these things, but observing His working, as we are instructed in Psalm 107, it also teaches us much about ourselves. Because it said there that whoso is wise, teaches us much about who we are, where we are in our walk in relationship with Christ, where we are in our maturity as Christians. If we are able to look at a situation and see it as nothing more than random, we've got some maturing to do. So this teaches us also much about ourselves. Again, there are the big things in life that we make this statement that hardly anybody's going to miss. I mean, you're going to get it. But it takes maturity to step back and really begin to see the beauty of every stroke that God is putting on that canvas. Step back and really see the beauty of and the elegance of His working, not only in your life, but in the lives of so many other people. For your benefit, for their benefit, for our benefit, and for His glory. We're able to see just how much we think about our God. And that is telling of us, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is. It is very telling of us. We should have our understanding of God be elevated as highly as our human function can allow it to elevate. And that's not high enough. But for every one of us, including myself, there is room for improvement. There's room for growth in that. In observing the providential workings of God, it shows us much about ourselves and what we think about God. No matter what you think about God, there are maybe some things in your life or some things in your mind whereby you limit what you think God can or can't do or what He will or won't do. And this helps us with that. It helps us in how we perceive the events of our lives when we stop looking at them as events and we start looking at them as providential actions that God has brought about to us, not circumstance, not events, but providential actions where God is working, positively working in our life to bring about a certain thing in His planning and His purposing. We need to be seeing God, His hand at work, brushing the strokes of this beautiful landscape. And let's be honest, life is beautiful. Yes, it's chaotic. Yes, it's sometimes as we look around in this world, we know it's sinful, of course. It can be a very daunting task. But yet, as we examine it further, we see life is a beautiful thing. God loves life. He loves His people. He loves the lives of His people. He doesn't always love all of our actions, all of our decisions, and all the things that we do. But God loves His people. He loves those that are His. And He works providentially in our lives every single moment of every single day. God is at work. Let us see that level of detail. Let us rejoice in it. Let us praise Him in every way that we can for it. And ask God to forgive us for the days that pass us by, that we fail to see these things. You want to be a more thankful person? That's a word that we'll be focusing on soon, I'm sure. You want to be a more thankful person? Look at the providential workings of God in your life and understand that He's brought them about, and see His loving kindness in action and at work. Praise Him for it, and that'll make you a more thankful individual and cause us and help us to grow in so many different ways in our life, and praise God continually for all of this. So Paul was able to say, being confident of this very thing, He which has performed the good work in us, He's begun it, He'll keep it. He'll make it happen. So that means there is nothing between here and there that will come into our life that God has not already, the best word I can say is, accounted for. Now, that's not saying He's reacting, but I'm saying His planning and His purposing and bringing things about, that He is already actively working in. And that gives us a great deal of confidence. Let's stand. Rest of the night.